John chapter 17, and we look at one verse of scripture, but I'm going to read verse 1 down through verse 10 and take our thought and message from verse 10. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, that they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Remember the last phrase in verse 10. I want us to consider this wonderful truth, and what a wondrous truth it is. He said, I am glorified in them. Much is said in these 10 verses that I read to you concerning the glory of the Father and the glory of the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed to his Father in this chapter, what we call the high priestly prayer. And he thanked his Father for his glory, the glory that he had given him here on this earth in the accomplishment of the work that he had sent him to do. I want us to consider for a few minutes the glory of the church, the glory of the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. He said, I am glorified in them. Glory is that which distinguishes one from another. This message is, by the way, connected to the message last Sunday, beholding his glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is distinguished from all others by his virtue, his character, his quality, his person, if you will. There's no other like him. His people are identified in him, and that's another thing concerning glory, is it's one's identification. His people are identified in him and with him. The church being the body of Christ, the church is not an earthly organization. The church is a spiritual organism. The church is begotten by God, born of God. Called in the scriptures, the born again. Living stones, the temple of the living God. It is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The local church is the visible body of believers that meet together in His name, that are members one of another, Christ being the head. Now the local church, the visible church, there may be tares among the wheat. There may be unbelievers among believers. It's always been so. But we must not be remiss in remembering that those whom do not believe, that we might consider as tares, may be indeed the elect of God that He's put among us to sometime reveal Christ to by the preaching of the gospel. And if indeed they are not, and they are indeed tares, He will take them out as He pleases. But the church is the mystical body of Christ. When I say mystical, I don't mean weird and some kind of hallucination, but the unseen by the natural eye, a body of believers, those that Christ has revealed Himself to, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the soul. Who is a believer? I ponder this question as I try to outline this message, and I believe that I have found one scripture, many scriptures, but one that seems to zero in on identifying a believer, who a believer really is. And if you'll turn with me to the book of John, or continue in the book of John to chapter 10, turn back a few pages, John chapter 10. I want to try to identify the church, and those that are members of this body are believers. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him, believe Him, they live in Him. John chapter 10, and I'll begin reading in verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the good shepherd. He did not say, I am a good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. There's only one good shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. And He said, I know my sheep. Believers, members of this body, are considered to be Christ's sheep, His flock. And He said, I am known of mine. He said, my sheep know me. That's what He's saying here. I am known of mine. They know me. And here in John chapter 17, where we took our text, He said, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and know me as well, Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. In verse 15, He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He did in fact and in deed and in truth and love and in mercy. Laid down His life for His sheep. He died for His sheep. He died to put away their sin forever. Those for whom He died have no sin. We have no sin before God. We're accepted in the Beloved. He's put away all of our sin forever. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died for sin. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He is our sin offering, our sin bearer, our substitute, our sacrifice, our redeemer. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There is one fold and one shepherd. He's speaking here primarily of the salvation of both Jew and Gentile being one in Christ. All here He makes all sinners one by nature, and all believing sinners one by virtue of the death, the work, the satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He said, there's one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This identifies the sheep. This identifies the believer, the church, or those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday we had a baptism upon the confession of an individual's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By that confession of faith, by that symbolic ordinance of baptism, the confession of that person's faith is that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all my salvation. The church of God, the church of the living God, is identified as believers, believing only, singularly, particularly in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Those who are identified as believers, as the church of the living God, as identified in the Scriptures as a glorious church. Glorious because it's Christ's church. Glorious because it's God's church. Glorious because of its glorious head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not the head of the church. You're not the head of the church. No one's the head of the church except Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He gives it its glory. The other night, I was setting out, it's a full moon. Became full the 19th. And I sat and looked at that moon, and I was filled with wonder. I thought, that moon is so bright, so round, and it gives so much light. Turned out all the outside lights. And it even got brighter, it seemed, after those lights were turned out. And then I watched the sun come up. And you know what happened to that moon? Couldn't see it much because of the brightness of the sun. But the moon received its brightness and its light from the sun. Take the sun away and it would be a dark, dead orb with no use, no benefit. Just floating out in space waiting to be destroyed. But oh, the glory of the moon is the glory of the sun. And the glory of the church is the glory of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If God in His grace ever unloads on us the glory which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, He may just have to take us out of here. But it is a living reality that you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, that know Him, that have come to Him by God-given faith, you have a glory that shines like the stars and the moon, even brighter, displaying His glory. And you know, I thought that how many are sitting out tonight looking at the moon that don't realize this wonderful truth. To them, it's just the moon. And the sun comes up, it's just the sun. And how many look at the gospel, look at the Lord Jesus Christ and His church as just something. But oh, aren't we something? Clothed with the righteousness of Christ, having no sin, wondrously displayed as a great work of the Lord Jesus Christ. A glorious church. Isn't this what who a believer is? He's one that follows the shepherd, the sheep. One that is glorious because of the shepherd. Glorious because of Him by whom we are associated with. Church is glorious. The church is a body. It's a unit. If you will, a fraternity, a family, a group, a collection. All of these things. I looked up what a body is or a unit is. And it's all of these things. All of these are things apply to the church. Congress, when it meets, it's a body. When the Senate meets, it's a body. When believers meet, we meet as a body. We're not an earthly organization. We are indeed gathered together. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. And we sit at His table. He teaches us and instructs us. And the church's great, great work is to glorify our head. To speak well of Him. To tell of the great things He's done. To give Him all glory and honor and praise. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 22. Ephesians 1:22. Well, I can't begin reading there. I need to go back a few verses. Look at verse 16. Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, notice this, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Not just knowing about Him, but in the knowledge of Him, in knowing Him. I know George Bush. I have some knowledge of him. But to be honest with you, I don't know the man. I doubt very much, as many times I've seen him on TV, if he walked in the door, I probably wouldn't recognize him. I don't know him. I know Loyal Rogers, but I'll just bet you anything, I don't know him like Wilda does. She lives with him. That's when you know somebody, when you live with them. And we live with Christ. We live in Christ. He's our head. This is a greater knowledge than just the mere knowledge of someone. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God enlightens us, don't He? He gives us light. Like He gave the moon light. Like He gives His people light. He gives us light and understanding and the knowledge of Him. That we may know what is the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, the riches of His glory. Riches. Not earthly riches. Some folks, that's all they can see. That's what they live for, is earthly riches. Oh, but the believer, he lives for the riches of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is passing away. But His glory excels, becomes more glorious, brighter. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Do you know what God is powerful to do? He's powerful to call us from darkness into light, from bondage to liberty. From death to life. From total ignorance to the wisdom of God. His mighty power to us for who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. He set the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, He set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Hold your finger right there and look over in chapter 2. This is amazing. verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He just prior been speaking of our deadness in trespass and sin. But God, he's rich in mercy, rich in love, and he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that he might show us off as trophies of his grace throughout eternity. Glory. We're glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's glorified in us. And we'll be glorified in him throughout eternity. We'll be a wonder to angels, a wonder of God's grace. Far above. How far above? I don't know. Long ways. Far above all principality and power. There are some mighty powers. But all powers that be are ordained of God. Far above all the powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet. That means he's sovereign over all those things. He rules all those things under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I thought about this. The Lord Jesus Christ, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what the Scripture says. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ. What dwells in the believer? Christ does. Therefore, hold on to your seat. Therefore, in the believer, if therefore indeed Christ does dwell in us, in the believer dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is that believable? That's what the book says. That's what God said. What is the glory of God? Christ in you. Christ in you. That's the glory of the believer. Christ in you. Oh, that God would make us conscious and ever aware that he resides. He rests in his love in the child of God, in the believer. That's a wonder, isn't it? But it's so. I believe that. But I don't believe that I really, really get all of it. I know it's so because God said it's so. But I'm a-looking. I'm rejoicing in it. I believe it by God's grace. But I want to see more of it. I want to understand more of it. Who I am in Christ. In Ephesians 5, 25, 26, and 27, if you want to read that with me, you're welcome to. Never hurts to read what God said. I'm going to read it right in the book. Husbands, love your wives. Well, I'm going to love my wife because God said I had to. No husband loves his wife if he's a husband that he ought to be. And this is a good union. He loves his wife and his wife loves him. Husbands, love your wife, but he gives a manner of this love. He's drawn us a picture. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved the church. The church. Who is the church? His sheep, his people. Those that he chose before the foundation of the world, that he predestinated to become heirs of eternal salvation, conformed to the image of Christ. Those in time who Christ came and died for, that he called by his Spirit, called by the gospel, and regenerated them. Those that now He resides in, and His glory is revealed in the church, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The water here is the Word of God. He cleanses us by the Word, washes us, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. He did this that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. The glory of the church, it's glorious because He gave Himself for it. He washes it, cleanses it by His Word. He's glorified in it. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, I look at myself. I had to look at myself this morning. I had to look at myself. Thought I did. I could have shaved my eyes shut, but I chose to open them. But anyway, I looked at myself, and I saw lots of spots and lots of wrinkles. And He's not talking about that. He's talking about the soul that has been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing before God, but it should be holy and without blemish. Now this is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is and what He done. No other one like Him. No other could do what He did. He takes dead, rebellious, God-hating sinners and makes them acceptable to God. Makes them white and pure and spotless and holy without blemish. God's love is fulfilled in the glory of Christ and in the glory of the church. God's love is satisfied. He rests in His love. Justice, the law is satisfied. Justice is satisfied. The law can't find one thing wrong with the church, the true church. Someone passed away this week that our neighbor knew. And she said, I hope he's okay. He didn't go to church, but we shouldn't judge. Well, now, would he have been okay if he went to church? Would he have been okay if he'd have been baptized? Would he have been okay if he'd have made some sort of confession? Not necessarily. The only way that a man will be accepted by God if he's been made okay by the righteousness and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not being judgmental. That's just saying what God said. If a man doesn't know Christ, he'll perish. Washed in the blood of Christ is glorious because we're clean. We're clean, we're washed, we're holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our head. Look with me, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. We'll go from the beginning to the end, in the middle of the message. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And the Holy Ghost didn't put on in our by mistake. He washed us from our sins in the shedding of His own blood, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Him dying for us. Hebrews 9:22, almost all things by the law, which is shadow of the true, were purged by the shedding of blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. and where the shedding of blood is by the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always remission of sin. Everyone that he shed his blood for is without blemish, without spot, holy, without blame, before God, showing forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in this great work that he has done. Isn't that what it said? And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, be glory. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. In Revelation, I'll read this to you. You can join me if you'd like to. In Revelation 7, verse 9. The glory of the church is Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying. By God's grace, that's what I'm teaching this morning, is the glory. We have no glory of our own. The glory of man is his sinfulness, if you will. If you should say we have something that distinguishes us from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, it's our sinfulness. It's his sinlessness. We have no glory of our own as the glory of God. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. Stood before the throne. Now that's going to happen. And I don't know how to say this, but it's already happening. I have a problem, Bobby, with time and eternity and getting it right, saying it right. I know what I'm thinking, but I don't know how to say it. It's already happened. It's like as Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. As we are seated together in Christ in heavenly places, this multitude which no man can number stands before the Lamb, before the throne of God, before the Lamb, stands before him. Stands before him. Underline that. Stands. How in the world can man stand before the throne of God and before the Lamb in the midst of the throne? How can he stand? Such glory. Such intrinsic, wondrous, majestic glory and holiness. How can we stand? Just like we're standing now. In the glory of Christ. They stood before the Lamb. The Lamb always, always, when the Lamb is mentioned in the Scripture, the Lamb, it always points to his sacrifice, doesn't it? That's what a Lamb was, sacrifice. He sacrificed for us. Clothed with white robes. What are these robes that this multitude is clothed with? The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness of the saints, the chosen ones, the sanctified ones. The righteousness of the saints is the righteousness of Christ. The church, we are even now clothed in his righteousness. We now stand before him and before the Lamb, guiltless. Clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. What does that mean? What does that signify? They're given all the glory and the praise and the honor, the power and the majesty to him. That's what these palms represent. They're giving him all the glory. The preacher said one time, we stand before God, we won't be stretching our regalises, standing on our tiptoes and prating about like we've done something. We be standing not in our own strength, but by the strength that comes through the efficacy of the eternal blood of the covenant. Stand before our covenant God in His strength like we stand right now. Don't take your calling lightly. You are now the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He does appear, we'll appear with Him in glory. What was this multitude saying? Saying just what we're saying now. What were they saying? Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne. What was they doing? I believe they're standing there with their mouth open. That's such a wonder. Knowing, angels knowing from the depraved race of Adam that now these that are dressed in robes, white, having no sin, having the perfections of Jesus Christ Himself, stand there and are not destroyed. And all the angels stood round about them and about the elders and the four beasts and fell upon before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. They stood. They took in this sight of the Lamb and the throne. And they were compelled by the greatness of what they saw to fall down and worship God. Isn't that what we do? That's what we're doing now. Oh, we stand in wonder and gaze upon Him. And at that sight, we fall. And we worship. They worship God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. The glory of the church is Jesus Christ. That's the glory of the church. All those that preach His gospel and all those that believe His gospel give Him praise and honor and glory. All of them. How do I distinguish who's preaching the truth and who believes the truth? Well, we can't do it with 100% accuracy, but I'll give you a clue. Those that give Him all the honor and the glory and the praise. Isn't that right? If they do not, they're not the call of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Well, there's a lot said about the church in the Scriptures. The body of Christ, those that really believe and know Him, those that He's given life. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9, here he's speaking to the church. But you are a chosen generation, chosen of God, chosen to show forth His glory. He chose to be glorified in His church, and He will be. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. How much more royal can one be and positionally be than in the Lord Jesus Christ? A holy nation, chosen, royal, holy, a peculiar people. That means a certain people, a particular people, peculiar to God. You know what the word peculiar means. The way I was raised, peculiar meant you. Well, he's peculiar. He's weird or something. And I guess we are weird. in this world of religion. All you preach is Christ. All you talk about is Christ. That's peculiar, isn't it, in the religious world. That's all I want to talk about. It's Christ. That's all you want me to talk about, ain't it? Christ. A peculiar people. That means a people that's chosen, set apart by God. That's what that means. Why? And here we come back to our text and the same answers the same question. That ye should show forth the praises of Him, the glory of Him, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. His marvelous light. Oh, children of God, if you can see this morning, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to believe, you're indeed in His church. Which in time past you were not a people. What he's saying here, we didn't know Him. We didn't love Him. We didn't understand. We didn't have light. We come through the loins of Adam. We were indeed sinners. But now, you're the people of God. Is that saying that God didn't know you and didn't love you as His people before you were converted? No, that's not what it's saying. He's saying that now He's revealed Himself to you. You have His life. You have His glory. His glory has been revealed in you in His salvation, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He explains it. This is the glory of the church, being the people of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, and I'll try to bring this message to a close. Isaiah chapter 43. The church is spoken of often in the Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah chapter 43. And I can't read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read some portions of it. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Jacob and Israel here is speaking of the spiritual church. That's who He's speaking of, the church. He said, I formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You're mine. It's my church. He gave His life for His church. He owns and is identified with His church. And His church owns Him and is identified with Him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my great high priest. He's my Redeemer. Okay, look with me in verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up; to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Often I ask myself, and I'm sure you do, why did the Lord save me? And often when we ask ourselves that, we'll be thinking in this manner, why did He pass by this one and save me? Why didn't He save him or her and pass me by? Well, I don't know. But I do know this, that everyone He saves, the reason He saved you or me is for His glory. for the magnification of His great love, His great power, His great grace, His great mercy. That's why He saved us. Nevertheless, He saved them for His great name's sake. Now look with me at verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. Formed, this people sounds like more than one, doesn't it? This sounds like the church, doesn't it? This sounds like all the church. This people have I formed for myself. They is more than one. All of them. That multitude that we read about in Revelation. They shall show forth my praise. And my praise means my glory. They shall show forth my glory. The church of God is a glorious church. Glorious because of its head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the glory that we have is incomprehensible to our finite mind, even by the aid of the Holy Spirit. It's still so great, it's incomprehensible. And I would wager that we'll not fully understand these words that I've read to you until we awake in His likeness and we see Him as He is. And we see ourselves, then we'll see ourselves as we really are. Now we know in part. We see through a glass dimly. And oh, the glory that we see, even dimly. Isn't it wondrous? Isn't it wondrous? I wish that everyone, not contrary to God's will, but I think the heart's desire of every believer and every minister of God's gospel is that everyone could hear and see and behold the glory of God as it's displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I feel like I've so come up short this morning in trying to give to you what God's given me by the weakness of this flesh. But search the Scriptures and see if these things are not so. May the Lord bless you.